Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Both near and far, throughout the human race, within each beating heart, there is a dream whose time has come. For us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand of the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Upon their face, sincerity, while underneath the self-agenda does proceed. But falsity perfumes the air. The sin screams louder than the finest ever dare. They'll fill your place with GMOs, and soon your lineage will never cease to grow. Inject your blood with toxic waste. The world is all the fairer if you'll just die in haste. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Oh.
Welcome. You are listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live from the Vaccine Rights Studios here in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, 2014, and we are here every Wednesday afternoon, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain Time, and 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Every Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month, in my place, Homeopathy World Community founder Debbie Brock, for this same hour, talking about health news, vaccines, and other kinds of issues. But for every Wednesday of the month, but the last Wednesday of the month, yours truly, Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Now, this is a live show and a live call-in show. If you have a question about your rights concerning vaccines or a comment, you are welcome to call in. The guest call-in number is area code 347-324-3704. That's area code 347-324-3704. If you didn't have something to write that down with, you can go to freedomizerradio.com, freedomizerradio.com, and listen to the show there, or call in. The call-in number is, I believe, at the top of that page, freedomizerradio.com. This is a simulcast show. We are going out to Freedomizer Radio and also Homeopathy World Community Radio. So we welcome any and all listeners, of course, to the show, but in particular those with Freedomizer Radio and Homeopathy World Community. Pleasure to have you with us today. Let's dive in here. Tons of stuff to talk about, as always. I had a parent in Texas send me a school medical consent form that she noticed had changed the wording on this form from last year and prior years. And this is somewhat subtle, but just another example of how this aggressive pro-vaccine pharmaceutical industry agenda is creeping its way into our personal lives, overstepping constitutional boundaries. So let me tell you about the form. It's a medical consent form so that a child who's involved, and this would be an older child, probably middle or high school, who's involved in school athletics, so that if there's any emergency, medical emergency, that they have permission to treat this child. And this is a standard type of form that you'll get in school athletics, and perfectly reasonable thing, if not really necessary, for schools to have. I mean, probably in most states there are already laws that allow children to be treated medically in an emergency without the parents' consent. There certainly are such laws here in North Carolina, and I'd be really surprised if there was a state anywhere in the country that didn't have some kind of law on the books allowing for that. So really, medical consent forms, I don't really think they are so much about getting permission from parents to treat in an emergency as they are really just notifying the parent that the school has that authority. But they put it in the form of a consent form. We want you, parent, to sign this form so that we have permission to treat your child if there's some medical emergency, which of course can happen in sports. Kids have accidents, they break arms or legs or have concussions or what have you. But this form goes a little farther than the common sense medical emergency idea. It says, quote, permission is hereby granted to the attending physician to proceed with any medical or minor surgical treatment, x-ray examination, and immunizations for the above-named student. In the event of serious illness, major surgery, significant accidental injury, et cetera, but this first line here is just completely superfluous. This is not anything this girl has any business sticking its nose in. If it's not an emergency, they don't need to do it without the parent's permission. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm sure people could try to make common sense arguments on either side of the equation here, but really, from my point of view, the question is, first and foremost, what are the legal boundaries here? So in just really simple, straightforward terms, there's been a series of U.S. Supreme Court cases over the last century or so that have spelled out in great detail the right under the U.S. Constitution for parents, and indeed the obligation for parents to what is referred to in the court cases as the care, custody, and control of our children. The state or government can only intervene, force its way into that parent-child relationship when there's some harm or imminent risk of harm. If there has to be some form of neglect or abuse, basically. Now, the exception to that is going to be a narrow list of emergency kinds of situations. If the child is bleeding to death, of course you can stop the bleeding before you find the parents. And we hope you will, especially if the parents aren't already there yelling at you, stop the bleeding. But, you know, this is common sense stuff. Now, the law does not always appear to follow common sense thinking, but this one really is kind of common sense. There's no need for government to intervene or interfere in the parent-child relationship unless there is an emergency. If there's not an emergency, in this case, the public school can notify the parent. You know, we're concerned that your child is having trouble reading. We'd like for you to get your child an eye exam because we think maybe your child needs glasses. You know, I mean, it's just not an emergency. There's no need for the school to bring in an optometrist, give the kid an exam and give him a pair of glasses and pay for it or send the parents a bill or whatever. I mean, there's just no need for intervention in a non-emergency situation. Now, depending on how you want to define emergency, if you have a neglect situation, you know, a parent is just not feeding the child properly over time. Maybe that's not an emergency, but you have some pattern of behavior, then yeah, we want the state to step in there and help those children in those situations. But when you're talking about school athletics, what you're really talking about is, you know, with athletics, it just goes with the territory. There's a high risk, higher than usual. I don't know if it's a high risk, but higher than usual. That, you know, one or more of these kids at some point in the course of playing sports is going to get injured. You're going to get banged up, bruised up, sore muscles and so forth. But every once in a while, there's, you know, the potential anyway that somebody's going to have a more serious injury and something that needs to be treated right away. So, sure, common sense would say, yeah, we'd like the person to be able to be treated or whatever. But there just isn't an emergency situation as an isolated event, you know, for an individual only, where you would need to give a vaccine. And let me give an example here, because, you know, you get a deep puncture wound or deep cut and you go to the emergency room to get unpunctured or sewn up or whatever it is they're going to do to help you with that injury. It is common practice for the emergency room physician or a nurse or whomever to say, you know, you need to get a tetanus shot. You know, you could be exposed to tetanus in that deep wound. And, okay, I'm not a medical expert, but let me tell you my understanding from what I've read and what I've heard from doctors and other and researchers, PhDs, people I have talked to. You give somebody a tetanus vaccine, and let's assume just for the sake of this point that the vaccine is perfectly safe and perfectly effective. Those are two huge ifs, but just for the sake of the point, let's grant that. Okay, the tetanus vaccine is safe, it's effective. Do you give somebody a tetanus vaccine when they come into the emergency room with a deep wound or cut because they might have been exposed to tetanus? Well, it takes a couple of weeks or more for a tetanus vaccine to generate the antibody response in the person who gets the vaccine. If you are exposed to tetanus with that cut or puncture wound, a tetanus vaccine is not going to help you. By the time the vaccine triggers the immune response, it's too late. If you're infected, you're infected before then. What they do have is something they can give you in that situation, which is tetanus antibodies. They can inject that into you, and that might offer you some assistance if you were exposed to this, but not the tetanus vaccine. So my point, going back to the school medical consent form, the point here is that there is not an emergency situation that can arise for an individual where that one person needs to get a vaccine. Now, if there's a local outbreak or bioterrorist threat or attack, and if there's a vaccine that would be safe and effective to take in response to that, yeah, there's a hypothetical emergency situation where not an individual, but groups of people might be vaccinated. But nothing that's relevant to an athletic department, school athletic department, medical consent form. So I don't know that it's unlawful for a school to ask for permission to overstep. You know, can they ask you if you'd be willing to give away some of your parental rights? I guess they could ask that. The form, of course, implies that for the child to play sports, that you have to sign the form as written. You know, there's nothing in this form that says, please, or just check the parts you agree with, or mark through anything you disagree with. There's nothing in the form here that indicates this is optional. So certainly by implication, the school is saying you have to give us all of these rights and this authority and so forth. And I'm sorry, but that's just not something they can lawfully do. So what do you do if you're in this situation? Do you sign the form anyway? Do you scratch out the parts you don't like and initial it? I don't see a clear answer here. If you clearly object to the form, now I can tell you what I would do if I were a parent in this situation, but I'm not sure that that's good advice to recommend anybody else do. But as an attorney, I would probably rewrite the form to make it constitutional. I would sign my version of the form and send it back. I would probably attach a letter explaining that their form is unlawful and citing all the proper legal precedent and so forth. And I would probably CC that letter to the principal and the superintendent, school superintendent, and respectfully request a prompt reply from the school district's attorney and confirmation that they and an assurance, a prompt assurance that they're going to rewrite this form to make it legally proper. No guarantee what the response to that would be. And one of the really disturbing things we see in many different arenas, many different aspects of the vaccine controversy, is we see government officials and non-government folks as well stepping over legal boundaries more and more. All three of the West Coast states, Washington, Oregon, and California, changed their school exemption laws within the last 3 or 4 years. And each time they replaced it with a law that, in my opinion, violates the Constitution. Both the 14th Amendment due process clause with respect to parental authority over children generally, and the First Amendment free exercise of religion with respect to people in those states, parents in those states, who have religious objections to vaccines. Without going into the particulars of that, this is a disturbing trend. And yet, there's nothing we can do about it. It's very difficult to do anything about this. The two options are, if you think a law is unconstitutional, is that if you can qualify for what's called standing so that you can get into court to challenge the constitutionality of the law, to get the court to hopefully agree with you on that point and take action. That's one way to deal with it. There's a risk there, though, because depending on the way that laws are written, which varies from state to state, but if the laws are not, it has to do with whether laws are called severable. Can different parts of the law be separated or not? If you challenge an unconstitutional law and the court agrees with you that, yes, it is unconstitutional, the court can strike the statute, but that can end up, depending on whether or not in any given state the laws are severable, and that just has to do with the particular wording of the laws, you may end up losing the entire exemption altogether. That has happened in some states that had religious exemptions that were unconstitutional. Now, in most cases, when a state lost a religious exemption, the legislature was quick to replace it with a constitutional statute. But there would be, for some period of time, potentially no exemption or no religious exemption, depending on the particulars again. So not sure court is always the best way to approach these. Now, the other way to solve these kind of problems is legislatively. Get the legislature to fix the law. That's a lost cause, frankly, on the West Coast, because we had, and in fact, I was directly involved in all three of these bills when they were still bills, before they were enacted, going to, working with activists, pointing out the fact that the bill as worded and proposed was unconstitutional. And the bottom line is, sadly, that legislators just don't give a damn about the Constitution. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh or rude or inappropriate or impolite or whatever, but that it is so egregious that somebody who wants to be in the position of a state legislator and have all the perks and status that goes with that, to be called honorable, whatever their name is, all this stuff that goes with it, and they take an oath, every last one of them takes an oath to uphold the state and federal constitutions. But then to get into your job as a legislator and ignore the Constitution. Well, I don't care if it's unconstitutional because Big Pharma wants it, so we're going to do it, or whatever their rationale is. I'm trying to find words to describe this that I can say on the air, and I'm really struggling, frankly. But it is, among other things, a blatant symptom of a severely dysfunctional political system. Not that that concept is, new. People joke about how corrupt people in Congress are, as though it's something you can just laugh off and doesn't really matter. But when people's rights are trampled by those whose job it is to protect them, then there's a serious problem, serious dysfunction, serious corruption. And it's not every legislator, and it's not the same one on every bill. I'm sure it varies, and I'm sure legislators pass wonderful laws from time to time that really help people. But when they can ignore the Constitution, I'll give you a quick example. I had, when the change in the law in Washington State, when it passed the General Assembly and went to the governor's office, and the governor had the option to sign it into law or not. And an activist there took my legal analysis to the governor's office. Their response? Well, it's not really up to us to decide whether a law is unconstitutional or not. That's the job of the courts. Now, let me explain here, because there was an iota of merit, only an iota of merit, but an iota of merit to that point, because the technical reality is a law is not unconstitutional officially unless a court says so. And that, of course, only makes sense if all you had to do to make a law be unconstitutional was say, hey, that's unconstitutional. Then there would be no constitutional laws ever. And people can reasonably disagree in some situations as to whether or not a law is unconstitutional. Maybe it's a matter of interpretation or the way it's applied or whatever. So there can be legitimate disagreements. So the iota of truth in the governor's response from Washington is that they don't have the authority to officially declare a law constitutional or unconstitutional. But the iota is all I'm going to give them, because the fact is, any governor with integrity, any governor who does what they're supposed to do and not whatever the hell they want to do, would take that argument, hand it to the attorney general and say, is this correct? No. And if the attorney general's office agreed with the analysis, the governor can't, at least morally and ethically, I don't know, they're legally prohibited from signing an unconstitutional bill into law, but I don't see how they can morally, ethically do so. But in this case, governor's office, the message between the lines was, we're going to do what we want to. We don't care if this is unconstitutional or not. Does that mean we should all give up and, you know, there's nothing we can do because no matter how correct we are, nobody's going to hear us or listen to us? No. But what it means is the deck is stacked against us because all we have is the truth and the law on our side. What they have on their side is the power, clout, and authority to do anything they want to, whether it's legal or not, to claim truth, whether it's scientifically valid or not, to control public opinion, whether it's honest or not. Some of the documents released by Snowden revealed that the government actually hires trolls, internet trolls, to go out on the internet and make posts to criticize, even destroy people's reputations, not in the interest of truth or fairness or objectivity, but in pure unmitigated deception control. See, we live in a world where the people who are honest and fair can be defeated by simply being dishonest and unfair. If you're willing to overstep moral, ethical, and legal boundaries, you got more tools to use to claw your way to the top. And yet we still pretend in our society that the people who get to the top are admirable for that. You know how you get to the top in this society? You get there by overstepping moral, ethical, and legal boundaries. You outcompete others by cheating, by being dishonest, by lying, by being corrupt. And doing so in a manner, of course, that's effective. You have to be careful how you do that, at least initially, because if you get caught and called on it, it can backfire on you. So it's not something that anybody can do anytime, any way they want to and get away with it. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, Bill Gates didn't rise to world dominance in the computer industry, computer software industry, because he's a nice guy. And so, ironically, the people who get to top positions are often those people who just don't care what happens to other people, because that's what you have, that's the kind of mentality you have to get to those positions. So it's sort of like I had a brother once who said, anybody truly qualified for the position of president knows better than to apply for the position. It's almost a default given in our society that the people in positions of power, I'll put it like this, they are statistically far more likely to be people lacking basic compassion, empathy, any real concern for the effect of their decisions, choices, behaviors, and actions on others. And a lot of this is captured on film. So a video, YouTube video, probably somewhere in the last few to several weeks, showing all these comments by people in the officials in the Bush administration, the George Bush Jr. administration, talking about weapons of mass destruction that, of course, were never found. And then these same people on camera later saying, I never said that. I never said there were weapons of mass destruction. Just right there in proverbial black and white, although in this case it was actually right there in color on videos, these people saying one thing and then video of them later saying, I never said that. Lying is not something that's good or bad. It's just a tool that helps you further your agenda. And I certainly don't mean to suggest that everybody who's a politician is evil or dishonest. There are many politicians, I'm sure, who are people of integrity, but there are many who are not. Many people in positions of power and authority who lack the internal personal filters that prevent them from doing harm to others when that is a goal or unfortunate side effect of pursuing their political goals. And they don't care if it's going to hurt somebody. They don't care if it's scientifically valid. They don't care if it's legal, because they've gotten to a place where they can do it anyway and get away with it. So that's what we're dealing with in the world today. That's what needs to be exposed. That's what we need to be discussing. Get out in the open. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. Going to go to a break here, but we'll be right back. We're only halfway through today's show. Lots more to talk about. I hope you will stay with us. Got some real interesting vaccine news information to discuss in the second half of the show. So we will see you in a little bit. But for a few minutes here, play some audio clips here that will tell you about some of the other shows that you can listen to here on Freedomizer Radio. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman.
And me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network. Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives? In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
This is Cindy Lake. Please listen to me on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at FreedomizerRadio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi. Please mark your calendar for the last Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, USA, to join me, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, on Freedomizer Radio. I'll discuss medical news highlights on influenza, expose fraud in society, and question the tactics of Big Pharma. My passion covers self-empowerment with health freedom. Tune in to learn about the power of homeopathic remedies to heal the body, mind, and spirit. All shows are archived and simulcast on Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community. All other Wednesdays in the month feature Alan Phillips discussing vaccinations and your rights. Call in each week to speak with us live. We appreciate when you share these shows with friends. See you on Wednesday, 6 p.m.
We are back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. I'm Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. And I want to go to, first of all, let me remind you, this is a live call-in show. If you have a question or comment about vaccines and or your rights with vaccines, that number is area code 347-324-3704. That's area code 347-324-3704. And that number is also available at the freedomizerradio.com website. So I want to go to a real interesting article here. This comes from a website that is marketwatch.com. This is not an alternative health website. So I just wanted to sort of put that right out front because I think it's so interesting to see this article from the PR Newswire. The title, New Paper Provides Convincing Evidence, Vaccine-Induced Immune Overload and Related Serious Health Issues, is becoming the norm, not the exception, in U.S. children. It's kind of a long title there. Vaccine-Induced Immune Overload and Related Serious Health Issues is becoming the norm, not the exception, in U.S. children. Now, this comes from a study that medical study published by an immunologist, Bart Klassen, Dr. MD, Dr. Bart Klassen. I first encountered Dr. Klassen a number of years ago in my research on the vaccine issue, and he had done research showing a very strong statistical correlation between vaccines and diabetes. Certain kinds of vaccines administered at certain times had substantially higher, were followed by substantially higher rates of diabetes, even in families that had no history of diabetes, so it was apparently not a genetic predisposition. So he's done a lot of important research in that area, but here he is coming back making some pretty strong, sweeping statements. Now, I had the honor of meeting Dr. Klassen in person a couple years ago, and he made a point of saying to me right up front, he's not anti-vaccine. I think perhaps his goal is to develop something other than the current kind of vaccines, perhaps some alternative. I don't know. But in any case, for somebody who's claiming to be not anti-vaccine, he sure has provided a lot of fuel for the anti-vaccine arena. And this is a powerful anti-vaccine statement, at least current vaccines and current vaccine policy and law. Anyway, let me see a little bit about what he says here. This was published in the Molecular and Genetic Medicine Journal, Molecular and Genetic Medicine, just recently. And according to this article, it presents convincing evidence that the rapid increase in the number of vaccines given to U.S. children has now created a state of immune overload in the majority or close to the majority of young U.S. children, and that this is manifesting in related health issues that includes epidemics of obesity, diabetes, and autism. Again, powerful statements. We've been publishing for years that vaccines are causing an epidemic of inflammatory diseases that includes diabetes, obesity, and autism, but the number of vaccines given to kids today has continued to rise to a point where we have reached a state of immune overload in the majority of U.S. children. The evidence of immune overload is reviewed in this paper, this study, and the what is referred to as the plethora of different health effects that children are developing because of the immune overload. Now, Dr. Klassen's research indicates that the enormous number of vaccines given to kids is leading to an epidemic of chronic inflammation, and that that results in epidemics of autoimmune diseases, allergies, various other things, obesity, metabolic syndrome. The data indicates, and this is a quote from the article, which I believe is quoting Dr. Klassen, the best data indicates that vaccine-induced chronic disease is now of a magnitude that dwarfs almost all prior poisoning of humans, including poisoning from asbestos, low-dose radiation, lead, and even cigarettes. Most patients don't even realize that they're suffering from the adverse effects of vaccines. Even more concerning, patients or their parents are being harassed, accused of practicing poor diet or exercise habits, leading to obesity or diabetes, when in fact they're suffering from a vaccine-induced obesity and diabetes. We've certainly seen stories in the past where vaccines have been shown ultimately to be a cause of problems that are not attributed to vaccines, because it is taboo. That's the word I was looking for. It's taboo to blame anything on vaccines. Oh, no, you can't blame anything on vaccines. You know, historically, there's been a tendency for doctors, when they have a patient who has an infectious disease, if the patient has been vaccinated for that disease, just because it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and quacks like a duck, if you've been given the anti-duck, then this is obviously not a duck. Let's call it a chicken or a platypus or something else. So if you were vaccinated for measles and you get something that looks like the measles, oh, it can't be the measles. You were vaccinated. Must be something else. And so we've had severe skewing in official statistics at various times and places, historically here in the U.S. and abroad, where we don't have the true disease rates. So that's been part of the, you know, one of the many different facets of this vaccine problem, that we don't have accurate records of diseases, and the inaccuracies make it look like vaccines work when they don't. And we have seen that in one particularly insidious context where this issue comes up, has to do with what's called shaken baby syndrome, where a child comes in with certain kinds of symptoms, a baby, into the hospital, and based on the symptoms, they say, oh, this child must have been shaken, therefore the parent is abusive, and we're going to throw the parent in jail and take the child away, and the other children, if there are others, away from these horrible abusive parents. And there are people in jail for shaking babies that didn't shake their babies. And there have been cases where we have shown that to be the case. So it's not pure speculation on my part when I say that. In fact, there's been evidence showing that just in terms of the pure biomechanics, that it's impossible to get some of these symptoms attributed to shaken baby syndrome by only shaking a baby. And then you'll have symptoms, hemorrhaging of the brain, which they may allege was caused by shaking the baby, and yet there's no neck harm or neck damage. You know, how can you shake a baby so hard that you're going to cause the brain to hemorrhage, cause blood vessels inside the skull to break? Because the skull is designed to take, you know, a fair amount of banging around and not causing any serious damage to the brain. If you shake someone hard enough to get serious brain damage, let's assume that's possible, because the research shows, the biomechanics shows actually it's not possible to do that. They had a study, they had football players, can't get much stronger than that, shaking mechanical or whatever, you know, babies to baby-like devices designed for the experiment to see if, you know, they can create the kind of force needed to get the kind of symptoms they see. No, actually, you can't do that. You'd have to actually drop the child or on their head or other things to get some of the internal symptoms. So, but vaccines can cause those symptoms, and that's been shown. Not speculation on my part. So, in particularly insidious, because somebody, not only the family is broken up and destroyed, but somebody falsely accused and serving, people serve prison sentences for this. It's just horrible. Makes you never want to have a baby again, just so no one will ever invent some excuse to take it away. Well, let's see what else we got going on here. I'm talking away the hour, but these are important points, and glad that you're all listening. I've got interesting article here talking about some information concerning the Gardasil vaccine. It's been, gosh, 2.5 years ago or more that an organization, nonprofit that goes by the name of Sane Vax, S-A-N-E Vax Incorporated, that they informed the FDA that despite all of Merck's statements to the contrary, Merck being the pharmaceutical manufacturer of the Gardasil vaccine, despite Merck's claims to the contrary, it turns out that the Gardasil vaccine does have HPV fragments, DNA fragments in the vaccine that are attached to the aluminum adjuvant. And this was found in 100% of samples that were tested by a Dr. Xinhong Li. And so the FDA was quick to confirm that Gardasil did have these. Oh, okay, you've proved it. Okay, we'll confess it now that you've proved it. But they're not harmful. There's no health risk. Well, it's just not that simple, folks. It's just not that simple. DNA conformations are known to be associated with genetic mutations connected to over 70 serious diseases in human beings, many lymphomas, kidney diseases, all kinds of different things. Well, this research has been criticized, saying that, oh, well, the tests that they used were oversensitive, so they were amplifying junk DNA and getting spurious results, you know, incorrect information. Or, well, no one else has replicated the findings, so, you know, that does, until somebody else replicates it, it's just not valid, or we can't take it seriously. Well, newsflash, this has now been replicated in other research. So if you had heard of that or after hearing about it today, happened to hear about it somewhere else and hear that, oh, it's not been replicated or it's not valid or whatever, well, news update, it has now been replicated. This article, by the way, at greenmedinfo.com, great website for alternative information, alternative approaches to health and healing, natural approaches to health and healing. Just a great all-around website. I recommend it. The particular article, Gardasil Contaminant Confirmed by Independent Lab. Gardasil Contaminant. I bet if you just search those two words on greenmedinfo.com, you'd pull the article right up. And most of the articles I talk about are linked on one of my own websites. If you go to my primary website, vaccinerights.com, vaccinerights.com, you will see a link in the middle of that page to the Pandemic Response Project. And that's a separate website right now. I hope to combine these, but at the moment they're separate websites. The Pandemic Response Project has a news page, link in the upper right of hand corner of every page on that site. So go to the news page on the Pandemic Response Project, and I have links for hundreds of stories in chronological order of posting or publishing, many more than the ones we have time to get to on the air here. But that article is there. See, we got time to slip in one or two more points here. Just got a couple more minutes left. Here's another article from a website. The web address is edweek.ed for education. It's Education Week's the name of the site, but the URL is edweek.org. States tighten loopholes in school vaccine laws. And this is just sort of doing a quick summary and pointing out what I've been talking about, how states around the country have been changing their school exemption laws to make it harder to get exemptions. Probably in response to growing numbers of parents who are starting to wake up to the deceit and corruption involved with the vaccine agenda, vaccine policy and law, and saying, wait a minute, you know, it was one thing to give three or four vaccines 30 or 40 years ago. It's another thing to give 50 or 60 now over a very short period of a few years in a child's life. There are bills pending in states all over the country right now as we speak to change laws requiring more and more vaccines for more and more people. It is really quite alarming and quite scary, especially if you happen to be smart enough to understand that there's a serious problem here. There is research, for example, that the United States administers more vaccines to children than any other country in the world, first of all. And second of all, the vaccines that we administer is twice the number, the average number of vaccines for 30 other Western countries. Why? Well, the cynical answer is because we can afford to pay for it, or they can squeeze the money out of us, however you want to look at it. But and because we're a fairly large country, 300 million people, you know, that's a lot of kids in there. And, of course, you're not stopping at children. The agenda is to vaccinate and revaccinate all adults as well. We'll talk about that more in upcoming shows. But very aggressive agenda. And one of the things that's happening in these bills is making it harder to get exemptions. And if we sit around passively, this trend is just going to keep going in the same direction, folks. Well, just about out of time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Going to go out with the same song we came in with, a song called Destiny Freedom. This is one that I composed and produced, and I'll play it for you as we go out here. See you next week, folks. Thanks for being with us.
Across this land, both near and far, throughout the human race, within each beating heart, there is a dream whose time has come for us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand of the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Upon their face, sincerity, while underneath a self-agenda does proceed. But falsity perfumes the air, the stench screams louder than the finest debonair. They'll fill your place with GMOs, and soon your lineage will never cease to grow. Inject your blood with toxic waste. The world is all the fairer if you'll just die in haste. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our